Good morning. I'm reading from Romans 6, starting at verse 1. Well then, shall we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God. You can be seated. Good morning. I am so stoked that today we get to do both of the ordinances Jesus gave us. We have baptism and we have the Lord's Supper. And, you know, every time we have a baptism, I'm just filled with so much joy because really each baptism represents someone moving from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from moving from death to life. And that is truly a miracle. It is something beautiful and wonderful for us to celebrate. When I think back to all the baptisms I've had the privilege to be a part of, there are three that actually stand out for me, not because they're unique in their significance. Every baptism is significant, but they're unique because of the circumstances. When I was pastoring in Whistler, there was this kid named Rob. He had moved out from England when he was 17 years old, and he went to Whistler, obviously, to live the good life there and discover life and happiness in all kinds of ways. And what he discovered was that life was found in Jesus and that his greatest joy was found in Jesus. And he wanted to be baptized. Thing was, our church didn't have the luxury of a horse trough. We met in a public school gym where that was not allowed. And we did our baptisms outside in, you know, the spring or the summer when water was not frozen. But he didn't want to wait that long. And so we went out there on a frozen lake, and it was about minus 20 with wind chill, and we cut a hole in the ice, and I baptized him. And it was the most wonderful thing. I certainly didn't jump in the water with him. I kind of pushed his head down as far as the water line and pulled back, but he really wanted to share his joy with me, so of course he gave me a very nice, icy, wet hug after. But there was another one. I got called to a hospital on New Year's Day one year, and they said, there's a lady who would like a pastor. She doesn't know any pastors, and we've somehow got your number, so would you come? So I went, and here in this palliative care room was a lady who was on a breathing machine, and the only way she could communicate with me was she could kind of write one letter at a time on a notepad that she couldn't even look at. And so over a period of several hours, She communicated to me that she knew her time was short. She was tired of running from God. She was ready to run into the arms of Jesus. And then she wrote, baptized. And I said to her, you've been baptized? She wrote, no, now. Oh. And so I went and told the nurse, and the nurse, I said, this lady would like to be baptized. Her eyes got wide, and I said, yeah, don't worry. I think we can do this with a cup of water. The Lord will understand. And so I baptized her that day. And 5 days later, she went to go meet with the Lord in person. And that was a beautiful thing. Third story, during COVID, there was a young lady named Zara from Iran who, after moving to Canada, heard the gospel and discovered that the Lord was so much more gracious and compassionate than the God that she had been raised to believe in. And as soon as she was introduced to Jesus, she was ready to follow. She was ready to believe. She is ready to live for him, ready to die with him. And sure enough, after she got baptized, she had insisted that this be live streamed along with our services. And after she got baptized, she called home to her parents to tell them the news. And they said, yeah, we know, because the authorities have already been to our house. And they've told us that if you should ever return to our country, that the full punishment of the law will be upon you. But she had decided to follow Jesus. And there was no turning back. She was ready. So what was it about baptism, about doing this, that was so valuable, so important, that a frozen lake or a breathing machine or the full punishment of a theocratic regime was no barrier? Like, what is the point of baptism? Why would they do this? That's what I want to explore today. What does it mean to be baptized? You know, one of the biggest misunderstandings I think we have about baptism is that it is somehow a mark of our own spiritual achievement. And yet, that's actually not why we practice baptism. Why do we do this? Well, there are three things we need to know. But the first thing we need to understand about baptism is that we do this because Jesus commands it. Jesus, right before he ascended into heaven in Matthew chapter 28, he told his disciples, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey everything I have commanded you. So a disciple is someone who is a learner, someone who follows a master. And right here in the text, we see that being a disciple, being a learner, being an apprentice of Jesus is closely linked with baptism. That word baptized comes from a Greek word, which means to immerse, to not just get wet, but to be dunked into the water. And what we see in Romans 6, this passage that we just read, is that when we are immersed in the water, there is something very powerful being communicated here, that we have been united with Christ in his death. So it's not just that we are going into the water, but we are going in together with Jesus. That spiritually we were present with him at his death. And we trust that we are raised with him in his resurrection. In Romans 6, Paul says that we have been raised to new life. Now, we know that there is a physical resurrection to come. There is a day that we trust is going to come when our bodies, which have died, will be made alive again, physically, literally. And yet new life begins when we are united with Christ through faith. When we believe him, when we belong to him. So when we come up out of the water, we are saying something new is here. There's been a change. Think of it like this. Up the road, there's a place that used to be, up the road that way, used to be Starbucks, right? And it had the branding. It made Starbucks coffee. It was Starbucks. Now it is no longer Starbucks. Same location, right? Same parking lot, same physical space. And it even still makes coffee. But there is now something new here. Change of ownership. There is a visible sign that this is no longer Starbucks. And when we get baptized, we are saying that there is something that has been left behind and there is something new that has come. What are we leaving behind? Well, it starts with our guilt and our shame. A whole bunch of things that came with living for ourselves before we knew the Lord. There's an old self there that lives for itself. And with that comes a whole bunch of behaviors, a whole bunch of postures and attitudes and ways of living. With that is anger, with that's lust, a lack of self-control, a whole bunch of those qualities and a need to try and establish our value, our purpose, our identity in our, through our own performance. And baptism says, no more of that. Baptism says, that old life is not who I am anymore. Now who I am is defined by Jesus. When we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we are declaring that a change of ownership has taken place and now a change of function should be expected from us. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. What does that look like? Well, our priorities are different now. Our goals are different. Our values are different. Our sense of identity is different. We're not living for what other people think of us. We're living because of what Jesus has said is true of us. Why we were made. Why we have value. Baptism also marks our connection to God's people, to the bride of Christ, right? So when someone is baptized here in our presence, in this place, one of the reasons why we do this in a service is because we are publicly taking ownership of this person. They are our family. It is a visible sign of our connection to one another. Now, some people think, okay, baptism, yes, I understand it's a symbol of all these things. I'm just not sure if I'm ready for it yet. I'm not sure if I should get baptized. I haven't figured out my life yet. And I'm not sure if I'm good enough to be baptized. And I think here we have a misunderstanding that we really need to clear up, because baptism is not the finish line. It is not an achievement mark for the spiritual life. It is very much the starting line for a life of following Jesus. In the Bible, baptism is not a graduation ceremony. It's your first step of obedience. And it's important for us to understand that the story behind this symbol. So if we go back into the Old Testament, to the story of the Exodus, of the Israelites being set free from slavery in Egypt, we know that after they were set free, after God sent the plagues on Egypt to set his people free, they start leaving Egypt and they're heading to the promised land, but they get to the sea and they realize that they are stuck. The sea is in front of them. Pharaoh's armies are chasing after them. It seems like the only two outcomes of this situation are either to go back into slavery or to die. They have no ability in their own strength to save themselves at this point. So what does God do? He parts the water. They can walk through and live. The ones who want to drag them back to slavery, the ones who want to kill them, they can't fall. God does the impossible. He makes a way where there was no way. Our baptisms, they tell the same story. right? That in the depths of our hopelessness, our lack of ability to save ourselves, God made a way for us. This is not just an escape, though. This is a new life. This is walking towards the promised land. We leave our slavery to sin behind us, and we begin a journey of trust, a journey of following the Lord who goes before us. But here's what we need to understand. We don't get baptized because we have already become the people that we ought to be. We get baptized because rescue has been offered to us, and we're ready to take those first steps of receiving it. It's the starting line. It's not the finish line. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, we see this practice of baptism as an immediate response to believing, right? Peter preaches the gospel and 3,000 people are saved that day. They call out, what do we do? They recognize that they're broken. They recognize that they're sinful. They recognize that Jesus really is the Messiah who came to save them. And Peter replies, here's what you need to do. Repent and be baptized. And so 3,000 people step up to the starting line and they get baptized that day. The barrier is not some lack of achievement or some track record that you think you need to have before you're ready. The only barrier is your willingness to repent and to step up and follow. I say this because I just have this fear that there are many among us who really should be baptized, but they haven't been yet because they have this conception that they're worried they're not good enough, that they haven't arrived, that they haven't learned enough, that they're not confident enough. They don't know how to explain all the doctrines and mysteries and theology of the faith yet. And yet, that isn't a barrier in Scripture. None of us have arrived. There is so much we all have to learn. Whether you've been following Jesus for a week or 50 years, we all have things to learn. And we all need the Spirit to keep working in us and working on us to make us more like Jesus. We have an old self we are continually taking off. We have a new self we are continually invited to put on. But that is no barrier to baptism. You don't, please hear me, you don't need to have it figured out. You just need to know the rescue that has been offered to you. The third thing I want us to see about baptism is that it is a public celebration. It should not be done in secret. When you follow Jesus, you are adopted into a big family. You're adopted into this church, and we celebrate with you. But this is something that we do as a public declaration of faith. It's meant to be seen. It's not meant to be hidden. I think we have this idea that genuine humility means that we're invisible, right? That is perhaps a standard Canadian definition of humility, but that's not a biblical definition of humility. Humility means that you are willing to step forward and point the glory, all the attention on Jesus, but you are also willing to be visible to do that. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." There's a challenge here for us to step forward, to be seen so that God's glory can be seen, that the world can see him working in us and on us. Baptism is one expression of that. And I know it takes courage, right? There are some people for whom the idea of standing in the middle of the room, sharing your testimony just seems like there ain't no way I would ever do that. And yet Jesus invites us to take that step forward in courage and faith. My friend Zara knew that taking that step would cost her. It would cost her homeland, maybe her life. For you, that cost is not going to be the same, but it will still require courage. But I will give you this encouragement. Being united with Christ means that he gives you his Holy Spirit to make you capable of things that you never thought you would be capable of. Being united with Christ means that you come under his protection. He gives you his strength so that you can live and do his will and even step forward and be seen for his glory. Being united with Christ also means that whatever the cost may be, if there is a cost, it is always worth it. We get baptized because we recognize there is no other way. He is the only way, and that way is worth it. Now, people will often ask this question, what is the right age for baptism? And the answer is not a specific number. It's not 12 or 8 or 18. There is a level of discernment that we need to have about baptism. And really the question each person needs to answer before they get baptized is simply this. Are you ready to trust Jesus as your king and follow him wherever he leads? That's an important piece here, because we are united to Christ through faith, and faith needs to involve that choice of the will, that we are ready to follow him as our king. Some church traditions baptize babies as a sign of God's promise to families. We love and we honor families. We recognize that families have a decisive and an important role in discipling kids. But we see here clearly in the New Testament that baptism is a personal step of faith. And so at our church, we wait until we baptize kids until they can say for themselves, Jesus is my king, and I choose to follow him. I choose to respond to his invitation of grace. So if you're here today, and if you are following Jesus, if you have trusted Jesus, your life to Jesus, but you haven't yet been baptized or you've been holding back, I just want to invite you to ask yourself why. What is it about baptism that has perhaps seemed like it was this achievement level that you haven't attained? Or what is the barrier that has held you back? Is it because standing up in front of people is intimidating? Is it because you feel pressure from some in your life? You're going to get some backlash for doing something like this? I just want to ask you to understand for yourself what that reason is, and if maybe this is the season of life where it's time to take that step. In just a few moments, we are going to celebrate a baptism here, a public declaration of someone who has said, I have decided to follow Jesus, and there is no turning back. If that's the decision you've already come to in your heart, we would love to continue the conversation with you, to prepare you to celebrate this step with you. Before you leave today, please come talk to me, come talk to one of the pastors or a member of our leadership team, and we'd love to pray with you. And then I would love for us to be doing this at Grace Point on a regular basis. I think this really is one of the vital signs of the church, that we have baptisms regularly. And we'd love for you to be here giving all the glory to Jesus. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Natalie. Heavenly Father, we thank you first and foremost for the gift of grace that has given us new life. That when we were helpless and dead in our sins, when there was no option except death and slavery, you intervened. You did the impossible. You parted the waters of death so that we could be united with Christ and pass through and be raised to new life. So Lord, today we glorify you in this baptism, and we pray that we would have many more here at Grace Point Community Church, people who have followed Jesus and then are ready to make that public declaration of faith, that public step, but also, Lord, that you would continue turning people away from their sin and toward your grace, toward apprenticeship with Jesus, that your kingdom would go forward in this community and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Natalie.
All right, so we're going to have a baptism, and it's my pleasure to introduce Molly to you. So I just want to, this is Molly. This is a very special day. I just want to give a brief intro to Molly. So about a year and a half ago, she came to Grace Point for the first time. And Pastor Steve, being the busybody that he is, he came up to me and he's like, Natalie, there's someone new. You got to go say hi, go say hi. Make them feel welcome. So I was like, okay. And I saw Molly and I went over and I said, hi. And I've been saying hi ever since. Molly's become one of my closest friends in the last year and a half. Like, we go for coffee, we hang out, we talk too much. It's fantastic. So I just wanted to let you know a little bit about Molly. I was thinking, how do I describe Molly? And I think in word pictures, my mind always drafts a mental image to my thoughts. And so for me, I feel like Molly is a cross between a flame of fire and a kernel of popcorn that's about to pop. She's full of life. She's full of the Holy Spirit. She's full of energy. She's super, super extroverted. I feel like she could make friends at the drop of a hat with anybody. And I love that about her. In the church, she is involved in Sunday jam. She loves to worship the Lord. And this girl stepped up with community dinner, not to lead one, but to lead two teams. So two teams, she comes here and guides them through a dinner, which is an amazing thing that she does. And I don't know if there's anything. Oh, the last thing I want to say, just to echo the awesome point that John just made. We went for a coffee 6 weeks ago, and Molly's like, she's like, oh, I've never been baptized. I was shocked because she's so on fire for the Lord. I just assumed she was. And I said, oh, okay. Like, well, when are you planning to get baptized? And she's like, oh, you know, down the road when things are in line. And I was like, oh, in line. That's interesting. And so I kind of had this feeling like 2 to 3 years was the vibe I was getting. Yeah, she nods. And I said, well, you know what? I said, don't connect baptism to having your ducks in a row. Don't connect it with things being ready or in line or sanctification or holiness. Like, it's not about that. It's about you just loving the Lord and being committed to him. And so she was like, oh, okay. Let me think about this. And she did. And here we are 6 weeks later. So she thought about it pretty fast and realized, like, hey, there's no need to wait. So with that said, she's going to share a bit of her faith journey.
Thank you so much, Natalie. All right. Bear with me. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Molly. Thank you for joining me today as I take this next step in my faith journey. I'd like to share a little bit about how God has transformed my life and led me to this moment. If I had to describe my life fully before surrendering to Jesus, I'd say I lived what feels like 9 lives. From the time I was a baby, life wasn't easy. I survived some serious injuries. And as I got older, I experienced some trauma, painful relationships, some disappointment, and seasons where I felt completely lost. There were many times I honestly didn't know how I was going to keep moving forward. Looking back now, there were moments when the darkness felt louder than hope. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:18. The amazing thing is, even when I couldn't see him, God never left me. For a long time, I searched for peace and purpose in all the wrong places. I kept trying to do life my way instead of God's way. My will, not his. And looking back now, that did not work out very well for me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Eventually, I realized I couldn't keep living like that. I had a choice, keep carrying everything on my own or surrender my life fully to Jesus. By God's grace, I chose Jesus. When I submitted my life to Christ, his presence came over me like a warm blanket. And for the first time in a long time, I experienced a peace I'd never known before. I knew I wasn't alone anymore, and I no longer felt abandoned. Looking back now, I can see that God was weaving every part of my story together. Today, I know when my past no longer defines me. Through every trial, every heartbreak, every close call, he never stopped loving me. He never stopped calling me home. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Psalm 139:8. Jesus gave me hope where there had been despair, peace where there had been fear, and purpose where I had once felt lost. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Reading my Bible isn't just something I do anymore. It's become one of my favorite parts of the day. The more I read, the more I get to know the heart of God. I'm still learning every day, but I've discovered that faith isn't about having all the answers. It's about trusting the one who does. One verse that has become especially meaningful to me is, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John 1:5. This verse reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. His light is stronger than any darkness we face, and he will always prevail. Today, I know my past no longer defines me. The mistakes I've made, the hurt I've been through, and the things that happened to me are no longer my identity. My identity is found in Jesus Christ. Fear not, I am with you. I will strengthen you and help you. Isaiah 41:10. When I was a baby, I was christened, and I'm grateful for the foundation of faith that was planted in my life. Today, I'm choosing to be baptized because I want to publicly declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. This is my opportunity to personally confess my faith and tell the world that I belong to him. Baptism doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means I've put my trust in the one who is. I stand here today not because of what I have overcome, but because of what Jesus has overcome for me. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23. Before I finish, I'd like to thank everyone who came today. It truly means a lot to me. Tyler, thank you for saving my life, being my hero, for always making me laugh, for being my best buddy, and for supporting me on my faith journey. I love you more than you'll ever know. Mom, thank you for planting the seeds of faith in my life and for always encouraging me to follow Jesus. Kate, thank you for making the trip from Florida to be here today. It means the world to me. And I'm so grateful we've found our way back to the Lord together. Tracy, thank you for faithfully walking beside me, for porting me back to Jesus, and for never giving up on me. God used you in such a powerful way to bring me home to him. And I will always be grateful for you. Pastor Natalie, thank you for your friendship, your guidance, and for investing in my faith. Thank you for believing in me, encouraging me, and giving me opportunities to serve in the church. Having you baptize me today is a gift that I will always cherish. Sorry. To our worship team, thank you for helping me find my voice again and bringing me closer to the Lord through worship. Music has been a passion of mine since I was a little girl, writing, singing, and being able to worship alongside you has been a beautiful part of my journey back to him. And to my church family, to my church family, Thank you for welcoming me, praying for me, and walking this journey with me. Your love and support have meant more to me than you'll ever know. I thank my God every time I remember you. Philippians 1:3. I'd like to leave you with one of my favorite verses and a few final thoughts. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Jesus said, come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. Somehow when you do, Jesus changes your heart from the inside out. My prayer is that if you don't yet know him, you would simply come and see what he can do. As one character says in The Chosen, I was one way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him. To God alone be all the glory. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Molly. Okay. That was so boring. No, I'm just kidding. I'm so emotional right now. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing, and then we're going to go into the tank. Father God in heaven, I just thank you for your daughter, the daughter that you selected before the foundations of the world. Lord, I thank you that you have brought her safely, safe and sound into your heavenly kingdom, that you have rooted her deeply in righteousness, in adoration, and in love for you. And Lord, I just pray that every good and perfect gift for her is bestowed upon her throughout the entirety of her life. I pray every day that she moves forward, that she is receiving one good and perfect gift after another and glorifying you in the process. Lord, we thank you for her and we bless Molly, all of us here today, in the name of Jesus. Amen.